on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
With the 14th pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Cleveland Cavaliers select Ochai Agbaji from the University of Kansas. And with the 21st pick in the 2022 NBA Draft, the Denver Nuggets select Christian Brown from the University of Kansas.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan with Marco Marquez. We appreciate you. Thanks for joining us today on this Friday, June 24th, 2022. And this will be the last time you see me on the TV portion of this show until, let me see here, July 11th, so. Because, next week I'm off, and so I will not be receiving phone calls, text messages, or emails. Let me go ahead and make this personal. Sales department, I will not be receiving emails, phone calls, or text messages. Attention, sales department. Thank you. Problem is, they don't listen to the show. So.
No chance a single person in sales heard that.
Maybe we'll get back to him at some point. And then when I come back, well, then July 4th, it was a holiday. And then I'll be headed to the American Century Golf Championship in Lake Tahoe, Nevada. So I will be broadcasting from there, but not on the TV and not during the first hour of the show, because Todd Lebo suggested, you know, maybe 4 a.m. at the golf course probably won't work. So I think Lebo will be in here with you.
Nice.
And so, aww. But I just laid out there, I won't be doing a full show from Lake Tahoe, Nevada.
I mean, I think that sounds like a great plan.
Right. It's an awesome plan. Unless, of course, you know, Travis Kelce or Patrick Mahomes or somebody wants to jump on the show with us if we're out late and they want to talk to Nate.
Well, that might happen.
Nope.
Probably not.
Those young men will be in bed by 10 p.m. sharp.
Think so?
Right, getting ready for football. That is the golden truth. So, I'll miss you, TV. So. And then the first week of August, I'll be in St. Joe. How about that?
Man.
Right around the corner. Already scheduled my time in St. Joe, and that's great for training camp.
you ready for some football?
I really, really, good God, do I need football? This is my personal time for sports, because the Royals had said excitement. Dead. So that's me illustrating how they killed my excitement early, Marco, by losing a lot of games.
Oh, see?
That's just you in general, because you hate baseball. We found out yesterday. So that is not a. I don't think we need a rim shot there. We found out. That
I clicked the wrong one.
Right. Which one did you mean to click?
Crowd laughing.
Yeah.
Your favorite.
I do like that. There's a couple of them I like, but I'm not going to tell you. So, but I know, Nate, you're very busy with the soccer, and so you don't need NFL football as desperately as I do.
Right.
I need it.
I'm very excited for it, though. But yes, I you're right.
I have to have it.
You want it? What's it? You like it, you love it, you want some more of it.
I want they. What kind size?
Yeah, what kind size?
I bet you can't find that drop from the Jerky Boys. I want they.
I want they.
What kind size?
I believe that was what he called Jack's Pickles and...
Right. Barrel Ass.
Yeah. Frank's Pickle Barrel Ass.
Hey, Frank's Pickle Barrel Ass, can I slip you a pickle?
That's you're there. You're somewhere in the.
Oh, that was close.
You're
was
somewhere
good.
In
That's
the vicinity.
Need to play that one more often.
Yeah, you need to dip your toe in the waters of the Jerky Boys.
Yeah.
In our Borat drops.
I would like to order a box of bolognese, please.
Right.
See, box of bolognese.
Right.
That would have been good.
They say send a salami to your boy in the army.
That would have been good when we're talking about the bologna chub.
Yeah,
the,
exactly.
That you made so popular out of Casey Grilling Company.
Right. Oh man.
So what do you think of two local kids, two KU kids going to the first round, huh?
Pretty cool. Pretty cool story, especially because two kids that were not like. I don't think either one of them went to Kansas with people thinking, oh, they're gonna be like first round draft picks right away. I mean, they really both developed into the kind of great players that they are. They obviously had potential, but especially Ochai Agbaji, he wasn't some McDonald's All American coming out of high school. He really grew and developed into the player he is. I wish he went somewhere sexier than Cleveland, but I know Cleveland's got a good young team, and everybody tells me this will be a good addition, and they'll be a playoff type team this year, hopefully. And Christian Brown going to Denver, that's exciting. I didn't expect him. I mean, that was right around the very high end of where I saw the mock drafts having Christian go. I felt like most of the mock drafts I saw had him going in the 30s. But he went 21, and I feel like a good spot to land. So
he did well at the combine.
Yeah, and it can't hurt to be a part of a winning team, right? Like I'm sure that helped both those guys a little bit.
That'd be weird if it hurt.
Right. I would think that would
you
be
won
weird.
Too many games.
Yeah.
We don't like the way you played in the national championship. We're going to drop you down a few spots.
You know, and let that be a lesson to you youngsters out there. I'm sure there's a lot of youngsters listening to 6:09 in the morning.
Yes.
Bill Self is always preaching the concept of if your motivation is to win games.
If not him, then who?
And if not him, then who? But he always says, if we win, the pie is big enough for everybody. You know, some people think, well, I need to be a star. I got to get my points. I got to, do all the things to show why I should get drafted. And obviously Christian Brown and Ochai Agbaji and Dave McCormick and all the guys on that team shared those responsibilities. They just did what they needed to do to win, and they still were able to get two guys drafted in the first round because of it. So when you're out there, I know you always preach this to your kids when they play sports. What do I need to do to help the team? If your motivation is that, how can I best help this team win? You'll end up in a better position.
I don't think I've ever told him that.
I remember you telling Phil that because I remember taking notes mentally when you told me that.
I think I told him find a way to get your points and who cares who wins or loses.
It's not whether you win or lose, it's how many points you score.
Right.
I remember you saying that.
Let's fill the box score and worry about the wins and losses later.
Right. Right.
Right.
So anyways, that's cool. I'm very excited for both of them. Congratulations. Two Kansas City kids going in the first round.
When's the last time two Kansas City kids went in the first round? Since you're such a smart mouth this morning.
Well, Marco's quick on the button. He knows this answer.
Marco sent me this answer. I'll give him credit.
Oh, I see.
Well, he didn't research it. He saw the tweet from Todd Palmer. So he gets credit for it. But now let's see if you can answer it.
How long ago are we talking? Decade ago?
Longer.
Talking Anthony Peeler era?
Longer.
Ooh. I don't know.
We got to guess.
I got to guess.
Guess the year, at least.
I was going to say 1991, but...
I'll give you... Now, this was an interesting little stretch right here, by the way. We'll just pick this up. We'll take you through. We'll take you through this. I think this is interesting. This is fun.
Yeah.
They put the list of... We'll go back to the 70s. Pierre Russell out of Wyandotte went number 13, or went in the 13th round. 13 rounds, good God. Number 207 to Milwaukee. Leonard Gray in 1973 and 74 with Dean Tolson also went. 1978, Clay Johnson, Mizzou Tiger, who ended up playing with the Showtime Lakers.
Yep.
I went in the 5th round to Portland. 1980, how about this one? Out of Wyandotte High School, the high school my mother went to, Larry Drew.
Oh, wow.
You like that one?
Yeah.
He went in the first round, number 17 overall, to Detroit. 1982, Ed Neely out of Bonner Springs went to the Kansas City Kings in the 8th round. 1983, guard John Sunvold out of Blue Springs went to Seattle, number 16 overall. And then the last time we had two Kansas City area kids go in the first round, 1985. What a year for Kansas City sports. The Royals won the World Series, and you get two KC kids going in the first round. Any chance that you know. A guard and a big. The center, you should know. Then I mean,
Greg Dreiling? Was no. He from Key One from Kansas City?
You'll recognize the name.
He was 86.
You want me to tell you?
Was it the guy, the big guy who went to Mizzou?
No.
Okay, no. All right, go ahead.
John Konkak.
Oh, John Konkak. Okay. All right.
Out of center, went to Atlanta, number 5 overall. And then Steve Harris from Blue Springs went to Houston, number 19.
Never would have guessed. You could have given me a year.
Okay, next one, 1988. If you don't give this one, you have to leave. Oh, he's not going to get this one. This would be the embarrassment you will suffer throughout our region will be palpable.
No pressure, though. I mean, we're not counting Danny Manning as a Kansas City guy.
Yes. Kansas City area. Lawrence.
Okay. All right. Danny Manning. Well, if we're counting Danny Manning.
Well, I was going to say,
Are we counting Mitch Richmond?
No. Not this list isn't.
Nope.
Well, Danny Manning was from Lawrence. Yeah, Danny Manning, Lawrence.
Okay.
Why don't you want to call Lawrence? You don't think it's
he was really from North Carolina.
But, hey.
But he was living in Lawrence by the time he got to college.
Get Todd Palmer on the phone and tell him Bucati has a problem with him. No, you don't actually have to call him, but if Todd Palmer's listening, Nate doesn't agree with your list.
You need to leave. I will claim Danny Manning.
1998.
1988 or 98?
1900 and we'll go to 92.
Oh, so there wasn't another one, it was just Danny in 88. Right, okay, gotcha.
1992, guard out of Paseo.
That's Anthony Peeler.
Anthony Peeler goes to the Lakers, number 15, 1998, point guard out of Raytown. Come on.
Tyronn Lue.
There you are.
Mexico, Missouri.
Where'd he go?
Did he go to the Lakers right off the bat?
No.
Cleveland?
No.
No,
Denver.
Denver, okay.
Number 23, 2002, guard from Pembroke Hill, guard slash forward.
Let's see, 2002. That'd have been Jerron Rush.
No.
Kareem Rush.
Kareem Rush.
Kareem Rush.
So, been a lot of good ones. Matt, is it
Earl Watson in anywhere on that list? I guess he'd been later. He'd have been 1990. I played against him in high school. That'd have been about 93.
I don't see him.
Still, Earl
Watson. Look it up.
Played in the NBA for 15 years. I assume he got drafted. Maybe he didn't get drafted. I'm going to take Todd Palmer to task if...
do it.
Let's see.
I hope Todd Palmer's listening.
Second round pick. Earl Watson, second round pick out of Kansas City, Kansas,
year?
Washington High School.
What year?
2001.
Get Todd Palmer on the phone. Damn. Good catch. Now everything, I second guess everything. Wayne Simmien, Brandon Rush, Alec Burks, Willie Cauley-Stein, Landry Shamet from Park Hill.
Yeah, we've had him in studio.
Jeremiah Robinson Earl from Bishop Miege. And then this year, Ochai and Christian Brown. Apparently, there's some omissions.
Well, I'm sure, you know, that's a lot of kids coming out of Kansas City. I'm Todd Palmer, good guy, very good guy. I'm not trying to.
Well, you're not trying to what?
I'm trying to, you know, run him through the mud.
You're not trying to destroy his body of work? But I just think it's fun to take a look back, and those are some good memories, man.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of those kids play in high school. But congratulations to both Ochai and Christian Brown. And it sounds like you don't like what Ochai went.
I don't know. You know, Cleveland, I mean.
Do you not want to be a fan of the Cavaliers?
Well, part of the problem is I hate their uniforms, you know? I just hate the colors that they wear in that sea. I like the old orange and blue that they wore. That was kind of cool, but this one, ugh. Anyways, but I hear they got good young talent. So maybe
Denver's a fun spot for Brown.
Yeah, I'll go watch him play. I want to go to a game in Denver.
Christian Brown and Michael Porter Jr. are now teammates. Christian Brown can get there and cuss Michael Porter Jr. out right when he walks into the door.
Yeah.
No, that's a fun team.
Yeah, it is.
To watch. We'll have to keep our eyes on Denver.
He'll be catching passes from the Joker.
Right, there it is. So congratulations to those two KC area kids getting drafted in the first round of the NBA draft last night. Back after this on WHB.
Bust it.
Somebody called in to Marco and said, Marcus Denman. He's drafted by the Spurs, second round, 29th pick overall. Or in the 59th pick overall, 29th pick in the second round. Can't forget about Marcus Denman.
Great player.
Todd Palmer, why don't you like Marcus Denman? You're right. That's a lot. He's trying to put it all together last night. I'm not going to criticize him like you did. But
well, looks like
Marcus Denman.
He just took it off of what Basketball Reference. Our issue is with Basketball Reference, not with Todd Palmer. We need to let somebody know.
Marco, get Basketball Reference on the phone, please. That's your Bill Self. Here he has his reaction to what happened last night. He was asked about the players' excitement after being drafted and how Ochai and Christian Brown will fit in with their new teams.
Well, I know they're both excited, but, you know, my conversations with them was very brief. 5 seconds or whatever, because, you know, they had to go do their other deals, but the families were extremely excited. You know, it's life-changing, you know, in the span of seconds, you know, even though you knew it was going to happen in the span of seconds, you know, lives are changed for a long time, maybe forever. And they were excited, and what they both bring is winning culture as much as anything. They're winners, and they'll add to whatever culture is already in place and existing there. They'll make it better. And from a talent standpoint, CB playing with Jokic, and what a good cutter CB is. I mean, you stop and think about, I don't know if CB could play with a better big man than that dude, because he's such a good cutter and mover without the ball, and he's such a great passer. And Och, you know, they wanted a perimeter shooting, and nobody's going to shoot any better in the draft for the most part than what Och does. So I think it's a great fit for both of them.
hear Bill Self talks about how much better Ochai can get in the NBA.
Well, you know, both of them are this way. You know, people say Ochai, since he's 22, you know, and CB's 21, that they're closer to the ceiling. That's a bunch of crap. They can both get better. They were both late bloomers. I think that Ochai, his intangibles have improved so much from a competitiveness, even though he always was, but he's learned that there's a different gear he got to get to compete at the highest level. And when you work as hard as he does in that fifth gear, every single possession, every single drill, every single shot, you're going to get better. So he's a good shooter now, great shooter. He's going to become exceptional. And CB, when he tightens his stroke up just a little bit, you're going to see a huge jump with him, because right now he's a terrific player, and he's going to get more and more consistent from shooting from the arc.
You tighten your stroke up.
I'm a late bloomer. I've yet to bloom.
Yeah, I can identify with being a late bloomer and tightening my stroke up.
Do you want to hear more from Bill Self?
Yeah, I love hearing from Bill Self.
Bill Self was asked about the conversations he had with Ochai last year when he was deciding on whether or not to return to KU or going to the 2021 draft.
I never tried to talk him into coming back. I encouraged him to try, and then as he tried, he wasn't probably getting the feedback that he was hoping he'd get, and he didn't take it as a negative. He took it as a way, I'm not good enough, I got to get better. So he handled it perfectly. The first time I talked to him seriously about coming back was when I think he had already made his decision to come back. And he and his family just sat down and said, now let's go over the game plan. Let's go over what the plan is for me and things this year. And at that point in time, I thought his mind was probably made up. But that's the first time I tried to talk him into coming back. I didn't try to at all. I thought it was best to give him space. And he's so mature and his family's so good, they were going to make the right decision.
I'm busting balls here. Sorry. So I'm asking him how long clips are, and he tells me, oh, that's good to know. Thanks for letting me know. thanks for revealing that secret.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just glad you have it. That's all.
I do appreciate the sound. It's always good to hear from Bill Self.
Why don't you call him more often?
I don't know. He probably doesn't want to hear from me.
How do you know?
I don't know that, but I...
What if he hears your voice and he says the same thing? He says, oh, boy, it's good to hear from Nate Buchanan.
Do you think that's what he says when he hears my voice?
I don't know. Why wouldn't he? Have you given him a reason not to?
Do you think most people say that when they hear my voice?
Some people do, yes.
Some people.
I'm not going to say most. I won't say most.
Probably not Bill Self. I think he likes me just fine, but I don't think he's looking like, God, I wish Nate Buchanan would call me more often.
But was there like something that happened that would lead him to like, I'm not answering that? Or I don't.
No, I don't think so. I just think he's a busy guy and hears from a lot of people. And I'm probably not up on the list of people he's hoping to hear from.
Maybe he gets a kick out of you. I don't know.
Well, I think he probably gets a kick out of me in the doses that he gets right now. You know, I feel like...
Just throwing it out there, man.
Sometimes I try to read whether or not people want me around. I don't always read that correctly, you know?
Right. Well.
Hey, I can try to call him more often if you think we should, you know?
I mean, we should have him on the show more often.
Okay. Let's see what we can do.
You know? I mean, we sure have Greg Gurley on a lot, don't we?
Well, yeah.
Probably
easier to get a hold of.
Yeah, well. Is he? Well, see, you had a perfect opportunity to say something terrible about Greg. But
I didn't, though.
Let's hear,
I love you, Greg.
Right.
He's no way he's awake right now.
He's just not going to sleep.
Yeah.
Hey, let's hear from Jay Billis as he breaks down Christian Brown after the Nuggets drafted him last night in the first round.
Yeah, he's a two-way player. You know, he defends at a high level. He can score. He rebounds. He's a good passer. He can put it on the deck. He's not a knockdown shooter. He's more of a streaky shooter. But he'll stick his nose in there. He averaged 6.5 rebounds, which almost two of those coming on the offensive end. So he'll crash it from the perimeter. I would say that he's not spectacular in any one area. He doesn't have an elite NBA skill, but he's solid in every area.
I love that.
And he doesn't have great length, You know, he's more in a box, but you know, he's just proven that he's a really good, solid basketball player.
We have Ochai on ESPN Radio after being drafted by Cleveland, but Marco said he wants to break. So,
okay.
Play it when we come back, I guess. I tried. I could have planned for it more had I known how long it was.
I think Jay Billis is selling Christian Brown a little short there.
How?
Well, you know, he...
Elaborate.
I mean, he kind of describes him as a guy, he's not elite in any area, but he's, you know, he's solid in a lot of areas, and he doesn't have that great of length, and, you know, doesn't have that great of athleticism, and I think...
Well, that's wrong, because we heard Jarrett Sutton say he tested out to be the second best athlete of the combine.
I think there's probably a little bit of prejudice there, you know, on
did
that.
Did he not
you
say
know
that?
What I mean? Yeah, he did. And so, you know,
tremendous athleticism.
Yeah, I mean, all you have to if you watch him play this year, how many times did he posterize guys?
Four.
Was it four? Mm. I can think of at least two or three on the top of my head where it was like he went toe-to-toe with a good athlete and dunked all over the guy. And I just think you kind of look at Christian Brown. He doesn't look – you don't think he's going to be that way, but
Jared
he is.
Sutton was there, and there, yeah. That's what he said what really wowed people. Dave Armstronged
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, then you play the wow right there.
And Brown's got a big chip on his shoulder about that, clearly. I mean, he's getting – you know, Jay Billison the only one to say that. You know, we were Bill Self saying after they won the national championship game that immediately Christian Brown was in his ear on the stage going – because Bill Self said before this last basketball season started, we got to get more athletic as a team. We need some better guys. You know, we don't have the athletes to go win a title. And Brown was in his face all year about that. I thought we needed to be more athletic. I thought we weren't athletic enough. Not bad for a team that's not athletic enough. You know, he uses that stuff as a chip on his shoulder, which I think is good.
Right.
But he's, I think, and I still think he will get better because I do agree with Bill Self that when he tightens that stroke up, he's a decent shooter now. I think he'll get better and better as a shooter because of the kind of competitor he is.
Well, clearly the Nuggets thought that because yeah. they took him higher yeah. than most mock drafts had him going.
Yeah.
So, and I'm quite sure the way he displayed his athleticism in workouts – that helped his draft stock rise quite a bit as well.
Yeah.
So we will take a break back after this on WHB. I like the song. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me, I'll say this. I like, you brought some newer music, or not newer music, but different music than we've had in a while. So I like some of your selections are very good. So I like that. Like, I like that. Why'd you play that? What was your motivation? I'm curious.
Just a fun song.
Yeah, remember,
a
fun song.
Did you ever watch The Office?
Sure.
So one of the seasons
started
off with
yeah.
the lip sync of this song, and it's just a very fun. Just a fun
yeah.
Friday.
I mean, I'm always curious, like, what's your motivation for playing that song? Your mom like that song? You like that song? I think Stan likes that. We all like that. So we're like, hey, all right, let's go.
Was Ellie Kemper on that show at the time?
Was she on there yet?
Who?
Ellie Kemper?
Let me look. I'm not familiar with the actress's names. I'll have to look her up and see which character. Or do you know which character she played?
She was the office administrator, or do they call secretary, or
right.
person at the front desk?
Erin, yes.
Because she was, she wasn't on the original Office, but she was later.
Yes, yeah. She played. If it's the right.
The reason
lady
why
I'm
it's relevant
of.
Is because one of the most impressive families in this region and in Kansas City is the James Kemper family. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kemper has passed away, but he made Commerce Bank the best run bank in the Midwest. And his family, the Kemper family, his son David ran the bank. Jonathan, another one of his sons, led the Kansas City operations. David actually moved to St. Louis and was the head of the whole bank. So they are big-time people in St. Louis and Kansas City. And then David's son, John, now runs Commerce Bank as a newer generation. And his sister is Ellie Kemper.
Boom.
She was in that episode. Yeah, she played Erin the secretary. I did not know that.
So I've seen Ellie, but I have not talked to her because I didn't, you know, it was a big family event, and I just did not need to take her time. But her brother John, I know so well. Her dad David, her uncle Jonathan, all these guys at Commerce Bank I work with all the time. So it's just amazing to think that a banking family with that kind of mindset, that brain power, that focus also has bloodlines associated with Hollywood. And Ellie's sister is a writer who wrote for The Office and other things. And so I think her husband writes for Saturday Night Live.
Oh, wow.
Now, I mean, they are... Ellie's much more known, but her sister's also giant into the Hollywood scene with these... We talk about Jason Sudeikis, you know.
Sure.
One of them with Ted Lasso, how big a deal it is. But anyway, it's kind of a small world, right?
That was one of my, when I was a kid, that was one of my, I had all these like dream jobs when I was a kid that I'd write down. And one of them was I wanted to be a writer on Saturday Night Live. Like, you know, that's kind of a weird dream job for a kid. Yeah, I want to be a, you know, behind the scenes.
Right.
I wanted to be, you know, and that was, until I realized, well, hey, you have to have talent first.
I was just much more simple. I want to play in the NFL.
Yep.
Year after year. I don't know if I was specific enough to say I want to play quarterback. I don't know if I would have cared where I played. But I can't remember when I didn't write that down. When my mom says, here's a little deal you fill out so we can remember, you know, when you were young. Can you write this down? I might have been 4 or 5 or whenever I could scribble something down. I said, NFL player. And what's bad is I haven't grown up anymore. I still feel that way.
Somebody just pointed out Willie Cauley-Stein and Jeremiah Robinson Earl. I mentioned both those two. See, now give me credit for the local kids I mentioned. You heard me say those names.
Yep. Heard them.
We're going to
Jeremiah
different...
Robinson Earl. Yeah, I know his whole family very, very well. And my son Landry was a teammate with him when they won some state championships. And the first time I saw him play,
yeah,
I go, that dude is different. As a freshman, he had you guys care about team attitude.
Sure.
And the KU guys, this time as national champions and 2 first-round picks with Ochai and Christian, a lot of it's about knowing how to win, make winning plays, do all the things you need to do, play defense, pass, everything else. Don't turn over the basketball. That's what he was like. Jeremiah Robinson Earl was, I thought, the best player on the court, and he didn't act like he was. He just did all the little things to help me age. Win when he's young, and then turn it on all the way to Villanova as a big-time player.
Seems like it worked out for him all right.
Yeah, great family. Yeah. He's, you know, I happen to know him, so a really great kid. And it's great to see him doing things in the NBA. But interestingly enough, Bol Bol was on that same team, and I said Jeremiah Robinson Earl was the better player, even though he's younger.
Phil St. John, a big fan of Bol Bol.
Yeah.
So, you know, and this goes back to this. Maybe you can lend some at least your opinion to this. We had this conversation, Stan, and we know where Stan's loyalties lie with football in the NFL, right? And so I come in here yesterday all excited and just, you know, I saw history last night, the last two nights. I can't believe what Shohei Ohtani, and I've been telling, you know, I've been talking about it all. If you've given up on the Royals, just watch this series because it's a treat to watch the greatest baseball player in the world, and there's a real chance you're going to see something incredibly special, right? Little did I know that on Tuesday night he drives in 8 runs. It's 2-3 run home runs. And then the next night he throws
a ninth inning tie shot.
Throws 8 shutout innings and strikes out 13.
And he batted as well in that game.
And becomes the first player ever to have an 8 RBI or more game and a 13 strikeout or more game in their career, and he did it in back-to-back nights. No one's done that in a career. To have a game of that magnitude.
Not even Babe Ruth.
Right. That's exactly right. And I'm just...
Babe Ruth is a baseball player, guys. You know, there's younger guys in there.
And I get it.
And a candy bar.
I admit it. I'm a baseball kind of geek nerd. Stats, roto, fantasy. There I am. But I'm just like, this is amazing. I couldn't believe it. The atmosphere is crazy. I know the Royals were losing, but the Royals won the game before. And I'm just like, I just saw something I've never seen. Wow. We come in here. Marco and our intern, Namdi, had no idea that it happened. Didn't register.
They go to bed at a good time? It was too late for them or something?
He saw the first 4 innings, and Ohtani had like 8 strikeouts. But just not interested.
Obi-Wan was out on too, Stan.
But just not interested. Mm-hmm. But even overall, not interested. Like, even the day after, when we're talking, not interested. And just not on baseball, not on the radar. Intern Namdi's 19 years old. Marco's 24. Luke, how old are you? 34 years old? The hell are you doing? Oh, wow. Okay. 20. Did you watch Ohtani? Did you care? Did you either of those nights? Anything? Baseball? Nothing? He's
shaking
to
his
be
head.
Honest,
no.
I'd much rather watch the Chiefs, and well, I know they're yes. not on right now, right. but the Royals are awful, there. And it's not enjoyable.
There it is. There it is.
That's honest.
Right? And so,
it's honest.
And it's unbelievable how young he was when the Royals won the World Series the last time. Even though to us it seems like it was snap of the fingers not that long ago.
Right. So this is, you
7
know,
years ago. Think how young he was.
Right. But
13
but,
years
but
old.
But still, that would have made an impression, 13. I mean, that. But so
well,
last
you,
night.
For you it would have because you're a crazy sports fan. But, I mean, just a normal kid, maybe not.
But these kids are choosing to work in sports and they're not interested.
That's what I mean,
fascinating is, you know, how many kids that aren't even interested in sports or, you know, as much as somebody that wants to work in it.
Yeah, but the Royals won the World Series when I was 13, getting ready to turn 13, and it was like the greatest thing in the history of my life at that point. But also, since I was able to walk and talk, it was, well, I was born in 72, and then as soon as I was able
you
to figure out.
You sparked the Royals to be good, because that's when they started playing well, 72 or 73.
Right. As soon as I was able
Royals
to.
Royals weren't that good in 70 or 71.
Right, but as soon as I was able
right
to understand
born, man.
What was going on, George Brett. My childhood was George Brett, and so I get that. I get why you guys aren't engaged in the Royals.
It was
Royals.
Like the Chiefs are now. Every year you go in the season thinking, why aren't the Royals going to be in the playoffs? Very highly likely, and a chance to win the World Series. And that started by 75. It definitely was true.
And here's where I was going to finish off with. Like, Phil is 19. Zero interest in watching the Royals. I couldn't get him to sit down and watch either of those games with me. Nothing, right? He's all fired up last night. He goes with like 10 of his friends, and they meet at the Brass Rail to have a little NBA draft watch party.
A night out with the fellas.
Right? And I mean, just like, he's excited, can't wait. Like, where are you going? Oh, we're all meeting at the Brass Rail. We have an NBA draft watch party. And here's who I think. This is what I'm.
And they weren't debating who the best player is in baseball, because when you were saying that, I thought that would lead to a discussion. Is it Mike Trout? You were not talking about Trout.
No,
some people
say
Aaron
Judge. It's Ohtani.
Well, but even two Angel players are in a battle for that discussion. Yeah. But and I hear some people, national people, even say, I think I've heard Buster Olney say, just like simply, Mike Trout, best player in baseball. And here you are, when you were getting ready, I go, wow, it could be two different guys you could watch when the Royals are playing the Angels. And you have to stay up all the way to maybe 10:30 or 11 to do it.
If Mike Trout throws a shutout anytime soon, then I'll put him on the list. I mean, I'm just Ohtani does things.
I don't play fantasy baseball or whatever, but how many points does he get both? Just by drafting him, does he get pitcher points and hitting points?
What a great question. In our league, you have to pick which you can't use him as both. You have to pick either.
This is a question for Mike Trout because he got in trouble.
It is outrageous.
Mike Trout got in trouble being a commissioner.
It is outrageous.
I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mike Trout was in the big story in the last month or so about the NFL when he had fantasy football and he's the commissioner.
Yeah.
Mike Trout was a commissioner when they had that one guy slap the other and all that.
He doesn't want to be the commissioner.
But what about this question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your answer.
You have to use him.
You have to
draft? Use him as a hitter or a pitcher in our league.
Each day or for the whole year?
We're in a weird league. You have to declare him at the beginning. Well,
what did your league
we have? We
declare?
Have weekly moves, and so you're going down a rabbit hole. You don't want to hear all these stats.
I'm just telling you. You understand what I'm saying? How
you can declare
he would
him
be?
Every week. We can make we can roster moves. You can declare him whatever for the week. But you have to make a special move to declare him a pitcher.
So that week, whoever owned him either got the 8 RBIs or the
shutout
innings.
You didn't get both.
Could not have gotten both.
And right now, there's a man named Brian Bates that is about ready to put his fist through his radio right now. Listen to this because he argues about this because he has Ohtani.
Yeah. Brian. Yeah, the rules are outdated.
Brian, I'm on your side with Stan.
This guy's one of a kind.
Opened up a can of worms.
One last question on this can of worms. What he did, for instance, in the RBI category, the night he had 2 homers, 8 RBIs, is that really strong work for 3 weeks worth of points? Or is it just, I mean, it seems like it's astoundingly good, but when you put it into fantasy football terms, when you play fantasy football in the NFL, if you win by 170 points over a guy, that doesn't matter. It's not cumulative. You go to the next week. But in this baseball, don't the points accumulate?
Yeah, that's
so. How many points did he put together?
Well,
was there a real good player for 3 weeks worth in one night, or?
But that was a good we have standings in RBIs, right? So 8 ribbies is a good week for a player.
Okay,
you know,
so
that,
he did a week's that, worth that was, of work.
Right, that was a hell of a week in
okay,
one night.
I got you.
We will take a break. Back into this on WHB. Today on the show, we are going to continue to talk to Stan Weber. Then we'll have Mike McFarlane. I'm gonna scream and run out of the building if I bring up Ohtani and Matt goes, I didn't watch it. Tim Grunhardt.
And then I don't think you gotta worry there.
Tim Grunhardt. I'm rolling the dice.
He was
here.
Watching Star Wars.
Oh, maybe. Is Tim Grunhardt in Kansas City on the phone in person? What are we?
I believe he's on the phone today and next week. He texted me and planned out for the next 3 weeks.
Are you kidding? He's on the phone again the next 2 weeks?
Tim Grunhardt.
Where's he now?
Off season, man. He's, you know, probably.
He's in studio with Petro every week.
But it's Friday.
Right. That's right.
He's got fun things to do.
He comes in for crunch time all the time. He's got, he is. Oh, no, he'll probably be studio. He's phoned next week.
Okay.
He just said yes, ... And
that's
then
right.
said he's going to be out of here.
Tim Grenhardt is a man of few words, and so he will be here just a little bit later. And we're going to talk, well, I've got a couple of things I want to talk with Stan Weber about coming up on the other side of the break after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.